Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about politics and the press, fair and balanced. My guests are Simone Pathay, reporter for The Roll Call, and Yannick Rice-Lam, chair of the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film here at Howard University. Lines are open, still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Diana raised an interesting point. She says that, you know, obviously Donald Trump interested in making sensational comments and Hillary Clinton talking about the issues. But in this particular cycle for this presidential election, have we devolved into, as some could call, a race to the bottom, where we aren't hearing about Black Lives Matter, economics, international relations, and diplomacy? Now Hillary Clinton is talking about him, and Donald Trump is talking about her. And are these now the central non-issue issues, Simone?
You know, I think this has a lot more to do with both candidates than it does with the media scrutiny of them. I mean, the reason why the media hasn't covered Trump's policies is because he doesn't have any. He doesn't have a strategy.
But he would say that he does. But
well, if you ask him, if you see reporters ask him, he totally evades the question. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask for any specifics about paying for the wall, building the wall, how he's going to handle relations with Russia, he can't answer the question. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we know what Hillary would do on certain issues and we don't know what Trump would do, I don't think is necessarily indicative of a disparity in the coverage. What I do think that point sort of alludes to is the great irony here that Trump wouldn't be where he is today without the media. And yet he is criticizing them, has death threats practically out against them, has mocked them, et cetera. And certainly part of that is the sensational nature of his candidacy. I think a lot of the press really took it as a joke for a while, you know, a year and a half ago or so when he announced. Folks thought that there was sort of an interesting sideshow and an interesting entertainment story, and didn't expect him certainly to hold on as long as he did and never to win a 17-way Republican primary.
Yeah, without a doubt. Same question.
I think the same thing. I think that the recent presidential races kind of point to the fact that the media has to pay attention to candidates from the beginning. Even if you look at when Obama ran, and some people thought that he didn't have a chance when he was running for the 2008 election, and they started paying more attention at Iowa. Mm-hmm. So the media built him up. Well, I shouldn't say the media built him up necessarily, but the media did give him a lot of attention. So it is ironic now that he's trying to trash the media. Also, to the point that the Committee to Protect Journalists issued a statement saying that he's a threat to the First Amendment and a threat to journalists, and that, you know, which harms us because, you know, so many countries around the world don't have the press freedoms that we have, and we're a role model. And he's trying to turn that back if he were president.
And to that point, when you talk about journalists around the world and the protections that we have, even the perceived protections that we have here, where we have seen in coverages of political campaigns in Mexico and in Eastern Europe, where journalists' lives literally are on the line. Journalists have been killed because of things that they have written, doing the same kinds of things that we do every single day. And I think that I would argue that some of us even take for granted the right, that First Amendment right that we have here, and the protections that we live under. So something certainly to think about there. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kay, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Harold.
Hey, how are you?
You. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Right? We have been watching a big baby for a while now. We've been watching a big baby.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there's an issue and something's not going his exact way, he's always pointing a finger. But he's not looking at the fact that you started all of this, buddy. You know, so do I feel as though the media is biased towards him? No, the media is being very fair. Just like Johnny said earlier, you might see one thing for Hillary and 50 things on Donald. Mm-hmm. It makes no type of sense.
Okay.
Look, this is a man that cannot take responsibility, and we cannot allow him to be our next president.
Okay. Thank you so much. With that said, though, you could also argue that if Donald Trump were a more straight-laced candidate, that Hillary Clinton would probably get more of the coverage, whether it has to do with Benghazi, whether it has to do with the email, whether it has to do even with the possibility that Bill Clinton could be the first gentleman. And so it could go both ways. Yes? No?
Well, I think that it would probably be a lot more balanced. I mean, she might get a little bit more just for the fact that she's been in politics already and has been in the White House as First Lady and also as Secretary of State. But I think it would be a little more balanced than with Trump. He has a celebrity factor, the outrageous factor, and all those things that get him a lot of press coverage.
Back to the phone lines. Kevin, calling from Northwest D.C. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that the media coverage is favored towards Hillary because if you look at the scandals that she's done, I've been reviewing a lot of the WikiLeaks. The stuff that Donald Trump has done is small in comparison. Like, take for instance, you know, the whole Libya situation.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to find out through the WikiLeaks emails, she knew that once they took out Gaddafi, it's going to be ethnic cleansing going on in Libya. Walter Fauntleroy, ex-DC congressman, he was in Libya at the time. Him and Cynthia McKinney, they had to go into hiding. They were slaughtering pretty much all black people. So the media, like, they don't cover things like that. They cover scandal, you know, affairs. But, I mean, not just that, you know what I'm saying? Look at the whole situation with Haiti and that fiasco. It was $14 billion donated to Haiti from the earthquake relief through the Clinton Foundation.
Well,
less than 2% of that.
Well, let's hold on, Kevin. If I can ask my panel here, let us stop and do a little bit of navel gazing and take a look at ourselves, turning the focus back on ourselves. Have we not done a good job of pressing critical issues as it relates to what is happening in this election, whether it be Clinton or Trump? And this is not only considering what Kevin is asking, but also probably for the first time in modern presidential history, have we seen issues that could have deep-sixed a candidate? And yet, in the case of both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, they are both very, very much afloat. Who is responsible for that? Is it us?
That's a good question. I guess you could make the argument that, you know, as America has gotten older, our tolerance for certain issues has widened. I mean, think about Gary Hart. You know, his campaign was ended for doing something that now it's accepted that a lot of our presidents have done. And so I think in general, like some other countries like France, now we are more able to see a distinction between candidates' professional and personal lives, that maybe we do cut them a little bit more slack. But I don't necessarily think that coverage of issues has suffered in this campaign. There's still been a very rigorous review of Clinton's emails. The story that recently came out about the alleged quid pro quo
with the FBI
and the State Department. It'll be interesting to see the extent to which Trump is able to capitalize on all of these things that are swirling around there about Clinton in the debate tomorrow night. There's certainly plenty of ammunition for him to use if he so chooses without having to go into President Bill Clinton's own indiscretions, which he tried to do in the previous debate.
So how do these candidates stay afloat if if, as I said, I mean, I can, you know, you mentioned Gary Hart, for example, you know, who you know, ran for president. He challenged the media to follow him, and they did, and they caught him, you know, having an affair red-handed. And but again, I cannot imagine any of these things happening even 10 years ago and having a candidate still standing.
I guess at this point, part of it is that they're the nominees. But also, I think all along, even though you were talking about that Trump doesn't have a strategy for a lot of different issues, but just to keep hammering the issues, he would have to come up with a strategy. So there was a disproportionate, I think, emphasis on some of the more salacious things that he said. And maybe, you know, as he veers the topic off, then the media probably should veer the topic back to the issues and keep hammering that and pinning him on it and not letting him kind of wiggle out of it.
So
sometimes people would press him, but then they'd stop.
So so that's what I'm asking. So is it that we're not doing our jobs? Are we not doing it enough? Are we dealing with a candidate slash nominee that is just so adept at wiggling, as you say, out of things where perhaps we just can't pin these things down? Even, you know, the best in our business have not been able to pin him down on these things. Let me just talk about, you know, the Anderson Coopers, the Wolf Blitzers, the Lester Holtz, which, you know, certainly not a nod against the print people. But again, it doesn't seem as if any of these things truly mattered. Does that discount our profession?
I think it's been a tough time for the profession in terms of covering this political campaign because people haven't seen anything like it in the past. But I think that people still have to keep hammering him on the issues, hammering Clinton on the issues as well, hammering any candidate on the issues, because that's what the public really needs to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, some of this we hear too much of is disproportionate. It needs to be more balanced.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. William calling from Northeast D.C., what's on your mind?
Hey, I am so glad I got through. Let me tell you, I think the media is giving Hillary Clinton one heck of a pass.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that?
Well, here's the deal. If you go for over 270 days without having a press conference, you look at Kevin stole the thunder from me, because the WikiLeaks, if you really read into this stuff, what they say, what her team said, because everything with Trump, it's like, well, he said this, he said that. But you're guilty by association. This is your team. If you look at the Veritas Project, where they show all these people how to do voter fraud and all this stuff, nobody covers her. Nobody asks her about those emails. People who have done less have gone to jail for this. Nobody wants to press her. Everything is great. Hey, how are you doing? How do you feel? Mm-hmm. But nobody really wants to hit her hard. Watergate was for less, as you mentioned. You know, it's just a burglary, and then it spiraled out from there, and everything. Woodward and Bernstein got Nixon. But nobody wants to touch her. Nobody will touch her, not from the media. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be her friend.
Okay. William, thank you so much. What do you think about that? Do you think he has a point? Are we asking the hard questions about the email? And is she also wiggling out by saying not so much about the email, but about the private server, and which, you know, and I must admit, we still don't have an answer as to why she did that. Why did you do a private server? You know, I don't get it. But are we not hitting her hard enough on the email question?
I think people are covering the issues whether she's participating or not. I think it's gotten a lot of attention, as a matter of fact. Otherwise, it would have gone away, and it wouldn't even be here for people to keep debating. I think there's a lot of attention focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Simone?
I agree. And let's not forget that the FBI has looked into this. They cleared her of wrongdoing. You know, they did say she was, I think the phrase was, extremely careless. And Republicans, of course, have latched onto that. But it's not as if wrongdoing has been found here. Those questions have been asked.
I need to take a break. When we come back, Cassandra calling from Maryland and Terry from Largo. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about politics and the press, fair and balanced. My guests are Simone Pathé, reporter for The Roll Call, and Yannick Rice Lamb, chair of the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film here at Howard University. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Terry, calling from Largo. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind?
I've been listening to some of the feedback and opinions of some of the other callers, mm-hmm. and I've been trying to be open-minded about this election. I've been looking at it from the perspective of who would be best for this country right now. And I have to say that I'm a staunch Democrat, but if there were a Republican who was running, who was qualified, I might actually look at going and delivering my votes to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have two candidates. We have one, we may not necessarily like everything about her, but she's qualified. And this country right now, where we're at, we need somebody in the White House who can do the job. And I know Donald Trump can't do it. And you can surround yourself by people who are knowledgeable and you can get information from, but if you look at him, he's not even listening to his handlers. How in the world do we expect him to listen to the people who know what needs to be done for this country and follow their advice? Hmm. He's a loose cannon.
So,
he's made this whole election process a joke.
So how are we doing, the media, the reporters, the investigative journalists?
I think you're reporting what's being said. And, you know, whether we like it or not, it's what's being said. This nastiness about sexual abuse and sexual assault and this kind of thing, he brought this to the forefront. This is how he eliminated his other the other candidates in the Republican Party, by rolling in the mud. So you rolled in the mud, you got to the top, and now you have a problem with the same media who covered these issues and these comments putting it back on you. And even if all of this was wiped clean, the bottom line is he's not qualified. You know, I have nieces and nephews and grandnieces and grandnephews who have to live in this world, and I don't trust this man to do what's best in the interest of this country. I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, Terry, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cassandra calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I believe that Donald Trump, in the beginning, loved the media. The media seemed to love him because every time he turned around, he was on TV or he was on the news. And it was because he was making outrageous comments. And so he was very much in love with the media because they were holding on to pretty much everything he was saying. But now that some truth has come out about his character, number one, and also about his inability to run a company, let alone a country, now he hates the media. Now no one's on his side. Because seemingly, I thought in the beginning that the media seemed to just love Donald Trump because they spent a lot of time listening to the comments and asking him questions. And I remember he had one meeting where he was going to say something, I think, about the whole birther movement. And he made one statement. I think the media waited for him for an hour. He made one statement, and then he left.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like I said, he used the media to his own betterment. And now that, you know, the truth has come out, he can't stand the media because, I mean, you know, I thought that the media should have paid more attention to the fact that he doesn't pay taxes and so on and so forth. But, you know, like I said, now that they've come out and have reported truth and things that have come directly mm-hmm. out of his mouth, now all of a sudden the media is his enemy.
Okay.
And I think the media has done an excellent job on both candidates.
Okay. Well, Cassandra, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And Cassandra brought up a really interesting point, again, about the issue regarding taxes. I think one of the things that is so fascinating, because Cassandra said she thought that the media loved Donald Trump. I don't think it's so much that the media loves Donald Trump, the man, but it could be argued that the media loves covering the Donald Trump campaign, because no matter how you feel about him, there certainly is never a dull moment. You know, and it certainly is exciting. But, you know, with that said, again, another issue, the taxes. How have we allowed him to get away with not releasing his taxes? Is this a situation where he's just decided to do something that no other candidate has ever done before, which is to just say no?
To the caller's first question, I think there is some truth to the fact that, of course, covering Donald Trump is exciting. But there's also a lot of reporters. I have friends who are really scared right now. I mean, reporters who are embeds with the Trump campaign, who are covering his rallies, they have to have police escorts to their cars. They're being physically threatened right now. So it's not exactly a luxury, you know, to be out there on the campaign trail with Donald Trump. And it's not always exciting in a good way.
And the threats are coming from his supporters.
From his supporters, yeah. Being directed by him, of course, when he points to the media pen. Mm-hmm. And to the second point, I think, you know, the tax, that story came out, I think, on a Saturday night from the New York Times, this big expose that he hadn't paid taxes since 1995, perhaps. We don't know exactly. I think it did get a lot of attention, a lot of media play. Of course, it was completely overshadowed by the Trump tapes incident. Whether that's legitimate or not, I guess voters can decide. But I think it did get a fair amount of attention. There's just been bigger issues since then that have overshadowed it.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that kind of, you know, kind of sliding under the rug now about the taxes? Did he just say no and we're just like children beating on the door and not getting the door opened?
He's tried to run this campaign by his own rules. And I mean, you know, I think it was good that people have been pressing for it and continued to try to investigate to find out what the situation was with his taxes, because people need to know about that, you know, in terms of responsibility as a citizen and also in terms of someone who would want to run the government and be over the deficit and all of that kind of thing, too, as well. I just think that people have to keep staying on top of the issues with him and in looking into it, even if he doesn't want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important, particularly now as we're getting closer, to press more on the issues and really trying to pin him down on what he would do and how he would handle specific situations.
Simone, I would say I would take issue with, you know, part of what you said in regards to, you know, reporters and members of the media being afraid of the, you know, some of his supporters. There was a time when they were afraid of his campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. you know,
well, that is true.
Yeah, Mr. Handyman. And I say that completely tongue in cheek, but which is probably, you know, one of the reasons why he's no longer, you know, with the campaign. But, you know, CNN is obviously utilizing him, you know, particularly well. But in the last couple of minutes, what have both of you learned, if you've had an opportunity, and it's certainly difficult, whether you're observing, whether you're covering these campaigns, what have you learned about what you do? And perhaps what would you do differently when you're talking about hindsight and covering this?
Because I teach, it's been, you know, a challenge in terms of helping, you know, students understand what's going on, because some of it looks a little crazy to them on both sides in terms of coverage and in terms of what's going on with the candidates. So, you know, driving home the point of being fair and putting whatever you think aside, This summer, we took them to the Republican National Convention as well as the Democratic National Convention, and they've been covering, you know, Trump and Hillary, and they're gearing up for Election Day. So it's been a good example for them to see both and to, you know, talk to, you know, Republicans of every stripe, to talk to protesters, to listen to the candidates, to delve into the issues and things like that. So it's kind of, some of it's diverting from what we teach them to do, mm-hmm. but it's kind of also kind of helping them deal with some of the realities of changing environments and how the intersection of social media and how when sometimes when people don't pay attention to people in the middle of the country, so that the groundswell for Trump is not a surprise or something like that. So the importance of kind of paying attention to different constituents, different people of all backgrounds, and paying attention to different issues around the world, too. You know, some of the callers mentioned some issues that have gone undercovered. Mm-hmm. So that's been one of the things.
So the same thing. What have you learned and or are learning? Because it's not over yet.
Yeah, I think the point about anticipating the groundswells is really important. In D.C., in New York, in these media capitals of the world, it's really easy to get caught up in the stories that we're reporting, and we think they're really big. I remember back to Watergate, and it's astounding to think about the fact that Richard Nixon was reelected for his second term after the story came out.
In the middle of the noise, yes.
Right. And so everything that we thought was a big deal, it really didn't play that well in middle America. So I think there's a fundamental disconnect, and I hate to use the word culture wars because I feel like that's totally overused in a negative way, but there is a very deep skepticism of the media in middle America, and there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the kind of the displeasure with institutions that you saw motivating both the Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump's campaigns this year. The populism, I think, the enthusiasm for a populist message is really the takeaway that you have to take away from both of these parties' campaigns.
Well said. Ladies, thank you so much, Simone Pathay and Yannick Rice-Lamb. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing with us again. Always a pleasure to have you here. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR or Twitter at H Fisher WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141.